But there came a day when the clock struck two, and Jane and Michael went to the hole to find no Lootie there. It was Monday, and therefore washing day. It was also dim and misty, as though a cloud had swallowed the sun. "Just my luck," said Mrs. Brill, as she pegged the sheets on the lines. "I need the sun, but it doesn't need me." The mist did not bother Jane and Michael. They merely waited, peering through it for a glimpse of a well-known figure. But when at last it did come, it was not the Lootie they knew. He was bent and huddled like an old, old man, with his arms hugging his chest. And as he threw himself down beside them, they saw that he was weeping. "What is it, Lootie? We have brought you some pears. Don't you want to eat them?"
"No, no. I am troubled in my heart. Something is trying to speak to me. I can hear a knocking."
"Where?" They looked about uneasily. There was no sound anywhere but the rise and fall of Miss Andrews snoring.
"In here."
Lootie beat his breast, rocking himself to and fro.
"They are calling to me. Knock, knock, knock. Kiria said I would surely know. They are telling me to come home. Alas, what must I do?"
He looked at the children with streaming eyes.
"The lady with the flower in her hat, she would understand."
"Mary Poppins!" Michael shouted. "Mary Poppins, where are you?" "I am not deaf, nor in Timbuktu. And you, Michael, are not a hyena. Kindly speak more quietly. Annabelle is asleep." The hat with the pink rose bobbing on it leaned over the top of the fence. "Tell me what is the matter, Lootie." Mary Poppins looked down at the